Every Christ follower is issued a simple and yet profound invitation. It's an invitation to follow. However, this is not an invitation to follow blindly, because His footprints are there for you to see. Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. If you dare to accept the challenge to follow Jesus in His steps, you will join a long line of faithful followers who have gone before you, both within Fraser Church and around the world. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 5 of In His Steps, Jesus' Prayer for God's Glory. Charles Swindoll said, "Prayer helps us give God's glory as the first priority in every endeavor." Our text is found in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, since You have given Him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in Your own presence with the glory that I had with You before the world existed." Thus far, we have looked at the prayers of Elijah, David, Agur, and Paul. Today begins a three-day journey through the prayer of Jesus, recorded in John 17. David Gusick's statement reveals the significance of this prayer. "The Bible is filled with great prayers. We are impressed with Solomon's prayer, Abraham's prayer, and Moses's prayer. But this prayer is by far the greatest recorded in the Bible." Jesus' prayer in John 17 can be divided into three parts: a prayer for Jesus to glorify God, a prayer for His disciples, and a prayer for future believers. Today we will focus on the first part, where Jesus prays that God will be glorified through His sacrifice. Matt Carter and Josh Redberg discuss what it means to glorify God. When we talk about the glory of God and glorifying God, we need to remember that we're referring to a noun and a verb. The glory of God is a noun and means His majesty or His splendor, His display of divine goodness. When we talk about God's being glorified, the verb, we mean the appropriate response to His goodness displayed. So the glory of God, noun, is His goodness displayed, and glorifying God, verb, is His goodness celebrated. God is glorious regardless of whether anyone understands who He is, but we glorify God by seeing His goodness and worshiping Him for it. Here, when Jesus prays to be glorified, it means His goodness must be seen and celebrated. For God to answer this request means the greatness of Jesus will need to be understood and acknowledged. However, Jesus is about to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. So how will God answer Jesus' prayer? God will take the disgraceful associations of the cross and transform them to honor His Son. God will provide the gift of salvation through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Shortly after, God will glorify the Son by restoring Him to the position He had with the Father before the foundation of the world. Charles Swindoll explains the significance of this first sentence of Jesus' prayer. "Prayer helps us keep God's glory as the first priority in every endeavor." Jesus began His prayer by acknowledging the primary purpose of His mission on earth. As the Son of God, He asked to be glorified, to be vindicated in the sight of all humanity as the embodiment of divine truth, not for His own sake, but that He may reflect this glory back to the Father. When we go to the Father through the Son, asking for anything to be accomplished, we are wise to acknowledge God's glory as the primary goal in every human endeavor, whether directly associated with ministry or not. When asking for success in business, let it be for the glory of God, and let it be genuinely so, not merely lip service. When asking for ministry to expand, lead off your prayer by submitting all things to the glory of God. I would even go so far as to include the following: and Lord, if this does not bring glory to you, please deny our request, and then guide us to accomplish your will in your way. As we follow Jesus' example of prayer, may we pray for God's glory. May our lives display and celebrate God's goodness. Here's some questions to ponder. In what ways does the first part of Jesus' prayer challenge your personal prayer life? How does the timing of Jesus' prayer before the cross both encourage and inspire your attitude in prayer? Why is it important that before Jesus prays for his disciples and future believers, he prays for God's glory? Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a blessed day.